From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Dylan the Tennessee Pal Fagan. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. If you are tuning in the evening this listener mail program publishes, let us welcome you to February 6th. 2025. We talked about it earlier this week. It's amazing that January 2025 went by so quickly and took so long to do so. We've got a lot of correspondence to get to, a true embarrassment of riches. We're going to hear from people all across the world. We're going to talk about some of the disturbing news occurring in the United States. We're going to hear from a firefighter or an exotic landscaper out west. We're going to talk about telepathy. We're going to talk about private healthcare. Before we do any of that, guys, do you have your mobile phones on your person as we record?
Sure do.
All three.
Whoa, you got a secret cell phone like Walter White?
I got two.
Okay, okay. Keep your secrets, Matt.
Oh, I have so many.
Well, I would like to report that mine is currently fully charged. So come at me, NSA.
Yeah, and I've recently stepped away from calling them burner phones. I don't like the connotation. I don't care for it. I call a couple of mine freezer phones. You know what I mean? As in, you take them out of the freezer when it's time to make the call.
Just the one for me, guys. Just the one for me.
Yeah, but
I respect the hustle. I respect it. I really do.
And with that, we're going to pause for a word from our sponsors, and we'll return with a message from Kurt.
You've heard about the Super Bowl's legendary pregame tailgate party where the biggest stars in music kick off football's biggest game. iHeartRadio is bringing the show to your radio for the Super Bowl 59 YouTube tailgate concert starring Post Malone live from New Orleans. Super Bowl Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 Pacific. Watch on YouTube at youtube.com/NFL and hear it on the new and improved free iHeartRadio app, the exclusive audio home of the Super Bowl 59 YouTube tailgate concert.
And we've returned with the aforementioned message from Kerr. This one is a dilly, as Lucille Ball was wont to say. Hey, conspiracy team, Kurt says. It's been a while since I've emailed about privacy-related concerns in the past, and I know you've touched on Faraday pouches / foil wraps before. I work in cybersecurity, currently testing mobile app security, and I came across an article claiming the NSA can track your phone even when it's off. Links to an article from boingboing.net, which we will talk about in a minute. My first reaction, this is ridiculous. Off is the same as dead and without power. Signals aren't going to or from our devices, right? Every movie shows the escapees or the criminals making their, you know, sus phone calls and then, again, Breaking Bad situations, snapping that thing in half, tossing it in the trash, smashing or throwing their phones out the window. And I'm always thinking, you're safe to turn it off. Well, after some light precursory searching, Reddit is full of conspiracy theories about batteries not being removable after the Snowden revelations. Faraday bags are bogus marketing ploys, etc. You can read more in the comments. He links to the Reddit conversation, which we'll also get to in a few. But it got me wondering if there's any legitimacy to this. The technique is referred to as the find, which is pretty awesome. It's got a lot of gravitas to it. And apparently lets the government locate high-value targets. It is technically possible for a phone to be in standby when we think it's off, unless the battery is completely dead. Just to interject here, another thing you see in movies a lot is the assurance that if you take the battery out, you know, these are obviously more like 90s, early 2000s shows, then you can't be tracked because there's zero power being supplied. But it's, of course, very true that in part probably due to things like planned obsolescence, et cetera, or Snowden revelations, maybe there's something deeper going on here. Batteries are no longer removable from phones. They are hardwired in unless you have proprietary tools. And even then, you're pretty much bricking your device. Like, they're not designed to be replaced, if I'm not mistaken. But do correct me on that if I'm off base. Moving on, and this is very interesting here. Also, NFC, or near field communication, doesn't need power and could theoretically operate like an AirTag or Tile device by relying on nearby powered devices like other phones to locate or triangulate them. Worth more research and an episode? Longtime fan, feel free to use on the air. I just think this is fascinating on so many levels, and I will read a little bit from the Boing Boing article that Kurt very graciously linked us to. NSA can track powered down phones, how to actually protect your privacy, by wonderfully named Ellsworth Dewey. What a great name. So here we go. I'm just going to read a little bit of an excerpt from this article. Yesterday, I wrote about privacy guides, mobile phone privacy and security guide for protesters. Today, Randy Czar, CEO of Faraday Pouch manufacturer SLNT, wrote, "Just want to let you know your cell phone is tracking you regardless if you have it in airplane mode or not. It even pings when it's turned off. There's only one way to know for sure that you are not being tracked. That is to keep all signals from coming out or going into your phone." The writer of this piece believes that he is correct and goes on. As reported in a 2013 Washington Post article, the NSA has been able to track turned off phones since at least 2004. Here's an excerpt from that. By September of 2004, a new NSA technique enabled the agency to find cell phones even when they were turned off. JSOC troops called this the find, and it gave them thousands of new targets, including members of a burgeoning Al-Qaeda-sponsored insurgency in Iraq, according to members of the unit. So Tui goes on. So if you're serious about not wanting to be tracked, you need to block your phone from sending and receiving signals. A Faraday phone pouch is one way to do that. It's made of conductive material like metal mesh or metallized fabric that creates an electromagnetic shield around devices. When electromagnetic waves hit the pouch, they create a current that generates an opposing field, effectively blocking all wireless signals like cellular, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and GPS from reaching or leaving the enclosed device. And then Tui says, of course, when you remove from the pouch, it is once again vulnerable. But as Kurt mentioned in this Reddit thread, there are plenty of voices out there saying that the Faraday pouch is, in fact, just like a marketing ploy, and that even that isn't foolproof. So I don't know. Let me read one comment here from a Reddit user. Let's see. Some of the comments here, just kind of referring, this is a good summary of the thread. Some of the comments here are back and forth, but it does largely depend on the manufacturer more than anything. For example, newer Apple iPhones can be tracked even when, quote unquote, off, using the same network as the AirTags. If they didn't have this in older models, I would be surprised. But to corroborate another comment, if the cellular or even Wi-Fi modem for more short-range applications are on, then you only need 3 points to calculate the position of the phone. Unfortunately, unless we have open source firmware and hardware schematic, we can never know. However, anything with a removable battery will not be able to keep a charge to the modem for long, unless some type of coin cell is in. And a good test for this is often if it loses time in airplane mode. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. This would result in no ability to track. While it is not recommended, you could install a small hardware switch on the battery if you had the space or wherewithal to do so. And let me just see if I can find any. Yeah, see, throw the phone in a Faraday sleeve and you're golden. That's what somebody says here. But then we've got, okay, proper Faraday should be enough. Faraday bag is a little extra security. Actually, it does seem, maybe I misunderstood what Kurt was saying, but in this thread, it does seem that everyone is speaking out in favor of the Faraday pouch. But Matt and Ben, I'm not sure if you've heard anything about this being some sort of marketing, you know, fluff, and maybe it's not as foolproof as one might think.
Yeah. To interject here, Faraday bags are a real thing. However, there's not necessarily some sort of, universal regulatory body assuring you that something purporting to be a Faraday bag is legit.
Aha.
So you can buy all sorts of things that will tell you they're a Faraday bag. For instance, certain fans of social media may receive in this spirit targeted ads for Faraday hats, which, as we explored in our tinfoil episode, are absolute bunk. Don't fall for it. The bigger question I will posit for you, fellow conspiracy realist, and thank you again for the excellent email, Kurt, is the idea of how surveillance works in terms of tracking, right? Like you earlier quoted the mention of different, let's say, techniques sold by intelligence communities.
Right.
Often that goes back to the idea of whether a phone appearing to be off is actually out of juice, is therefore incapable of communication. If you own an iPhone right now and you're holding the phone in your hands, demographically speaking, you're probably listening to this on a phone now, then you're well aware, folks, that your phone will turn off, but still have some basic functionality, which means it's not all the way off. The best way to do more proactive surveillance, just kind of bracketing the ethical quandaries here, is to plant a bug on a phone that is, you know, let's say you install a chip, it's connected to the battery supply of that phone. So there's a lot to get into here.
Yeah, for sure. And I did find, you're absolutely spot on, Ben. The marketing ploy behind Faraday bags is how effective the material they're made of actually is. If one is manufactured correctly, like the one that was referenced in that Boing Boing piece, the CEO of the company, SLNT, that does seem to be one of the top ones, but I'm seeing tons of chatter about devices, or I guess bags reporting to do this, that are made of cheap material that has like a snake skin kind of texture to it, and that probably won't even block a call. And one thing that's interesting too that I've seen is people say, well, if you want to see if the bag works, put it in there with the ringer on and try calling it and see if it rings. But that's only one particular frequency. Like, that's just literally, you know, testing whether it blocks the same frequency that your carrier is using. And that is not a good indication of other types of signals that can, you know, be intercepted or, you know, inputted, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it goes down to the type of metal used, the density of the weave or the mesh. And I love that you're pointing out there, Noel, and I'm sure Kurt, you appreciate this fact too. Faraday bags can deflect or block a wide range of frequencies, but it's caveat emptor, as we used to say back in Roman days. You know, you're not always sure what you are buying. Now, this is the part where we give space for some of our fellow conspiracy realists who might be saying, I don't trust a Faraday contraption unless I have designed it myself. And if you are that brave individual, kudos to you. Awesome job. Teach us your secrets.
Mm. And one thing that we've talked about on the show too is this idea of like, how come I'm getting served all these ads for things that I've just talked about, you know? And that continues to be a hot topic of debate on the internet. In the thread that I mentioned, the idea of phones tracking you when they're off, someone posts, yeah, and they actively listen to you. Everyone was all scared of Alexa, but your phone is actually an Alexa on steroids. Ever notice how you'll see ads about something you talked about with someone from the days prior? The jury's still out on that as far as we're concerned, I think. I mean, we have talked about it. We have looked into these types of reports, and it's a little iffy as to whether or not that's happening, but sure feels like it is. And it's real easy to buy into that particular conspiracy theory. I have a hard time believing there's not some form of that type of active listening going on. But guys, isn't it true that you can also wrap your phone in multiple layers of tinfoil and that could also do the trick? Or is that not nearly enough?
I wouldn't trust it.
Mm-hmm.
I got a couple. You may remember the George Washington videos, if you watched any of those. The time machine in there was a testing device for RF signals and Wi-Fi signals and all those kinds of things. I would just say I personally did a little at home stuff with a microwave, with some tinfoil, with a freezer. And I found the most effective thing, guys, is a microwave.
Yeah.
Because of the way it's shielded to keep that stuff from getting out and harming, you know, the user.
So your best solution is to always carry a portable microwave. We here at Stuff They Don't Want You to Know are proud to present with our partners Illumination Global Unlimited MicroWalk.
The microwave. Yes.
It's a micro microwave. It looks like a very subtle, form-fitting, aesthetically pleasing, approximately 45-pound backpack that you can carry on your person and just pop your phone in there as long as the batteries hold.
And if you, if you're into it, you can get one that looks like a proton pack from Ghostbusters.
Ooh, that would be badass. Or you, if you could make it into a boombox microwave, so you could always have your boombox microwave on your shoulder.
I do like the idea of the micro walk, but let's just take it a step further and go retro and call it the micro Walkman. You know, like the old portable cassette players, you know, from days of yore.
Boom.
Well, guys, that's all I've got. Kurt, I think this is really, really interesting stuff and certainly worth a further exploration down the road. Let's take a quick break, hear a word from our sponsor, and then we'll return with more messages from you.
You've heard about the Super Bowl's legendary pregame tailgate party where the biggest stars in music kick off football's biggest game. iHeartRadio is bringing the show to your radio for the Super Bowl 59 YouTube tailgate concert starring Post Malone live from New Orleans. Super Bowl Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 Pacific. Watch on YouTube at youtube.com/NFL and hear it on the new and improved free iHeartRadio app, the exclusive audio home of the Super Bowl 59 YouTube tailgate concert.
And we've returned. And guys, we are turning our ears to Australia to hear from Cosmic, who is fantastic. And really quickly, if you don't mind, y'all, Cosmic asked a question about our favorite magic cards.
I knew.
I have to answer. I know. Do you guys have any favorite magic cards?
I do, but I'm going to hold it for a second because mine's super dumb.
I wouldn't know where to start, guys. I couldn't name a single magic card. But y'all have your fun.
Okay, so just this goes back to when I started. So 1996, around the time Mirage was released. At the time, they called it an expansion, not a set or anything like that. They called it the Mirage expansion. I had a lot of favorite cards. But two of my favorite cards had to do with a red-green deck. The first is Jungle Troll, which is a highly trolled card. But I love that card. It was one red, one green, one colorless, so three mana for a 2/1 creature.
Sure.
You could pay one green to regenerate it, or you could pay one red to regenerate it. And that just meant if it happened to die, it gets tapped and sticks around, and it doesn't come back if you're able to pay the regeneration cost. The second card, and it only works with these two cards, at least in my opinion, for the deck I built, is Savage Twister. This is a sorcery for one red and one green, and then X. So you pay one green, one red, and then however many other mana you have open, and it deals X damage to each creature. Now, if you've got Jungle Trolls in play, you save one or two mana, and you regen those trolls. You kill everything else on the board, and now you're swinging for two, maybe four, maybe even six damage. And those are my favorite magic cards.
And so, well, let's keep walking here.
Mono, man. Yeah, sorry.
Matt, I'd love to keep walking here. So, Christopher walking here.
Wow.
So, ideally, when you're... when we're enacting this combo mechanism, what's the base tappable mana you would want?
I would say a safe bet is 7 mana.
Okay.
Anything higher than that, that's great. Red and green lends itself as a color combination for a deck to putting more mana out on the field, more lands on the field than you would normally have. So a ramping essentially up. So highly recommend it. There's my salute, Cosmic, for asking about that. And stuff you should sandwich. I can't wait to hear your voicemail because we mentioned magic. All right.
Did, Oh, is it okay if I say?
Yeah, please.
Just because you asked. I've got to say it. Cartoon of myself for personal reasons. Even though I know it's very much not a great card, I love a Stormcrow, man. You know, I love a Stormcrow. It's a little flyer, little 1-2 flyer. And I think I am not alone in busting that out. Also, big fan, of course, of the Augury Raven 3-3.
Stormcrows, you can have as many in your deck as you want, right? That's the cool thing about Stormcrow.
Yeah, because it's like a murder of crows.
Is that Stormcrow the name of one of the wildling tribes in Game of Thrones?
That may be
correct. I'm almost positive there are Stormcrows. The hill tribes, you know? That like Tyrion. Lothar, the hill tribes. Well, 100%. Yeah. That Tyrion got you know, in their good graces.
Yeah, so pretty much I love every Corvid magic they get in
We do know that card. About you. Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome. If you want an awesome crow deck, might I recommend Black and Blue? And throw in just a ton of dark rituals.
You
can only have four. Nice. But ramping up to 3 black mana, plus you got the islands hanging out. Stormcrow, 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 boom.
Stormcrow, just zerg it. Just zerg it, buddy.
That's right.
The Stormcrows in Game of Thrones were actually a mercenary company that were founded in the free cities.
The real issues, Cosmic. That's what we're for.
But speaking of real issues, let's jump to Cosmic's perspective on our coverage of Luigi Mangione. It's just a little bit of insight, and maybe it's going to give us a little bit of the feels. Mm-hmm. It gave it to me when I first heard it. And then we'll have a quick discussion about mental health care and private health care and how those two things are interconnected, maybe even woven together. So here's our message from Cosmic.
G'day guys, Cosmic here from Australia. I just finished listening to your episode on Luigi Mangione and holy shit. I don't think anything I'm going to say is going to shed light on anything you guys don't already know. But I was thinking about it. I had an accident recently. I was in the garden, doing some gardening, things like that. I had my lawnmower running and the blade snapped off my two middle fingers and grabbed the skin all the way back. I went to the hospital. I was sitting in the hospital for probably about 8 hours. I've come full of antibodies. I've given heaps of good drugs. A few days later, I got asked back for them to do an operation on my hand. All of that was free. Now, I'm not saying that to kind of rub it in because you guys are well aware that it's a massive problem in the States and, you know, a lot of other countries, you know, that can be considered first world. We've got the ability to have free healthcare. Now, what does that do to your psyche in the sense of if you're doing anything in the garden or if you're doing anything that may cause you harm, are you thinking about the ramifications of that, if that makes any sense? Because, mate, like the amount of times I've been to hospital for broken bones, cuts, things like that, I would be in so much debt right now that I would be for the rest of my life trying to pay that off. I guess I'm not really calling for any point, but I guess it's wild to think. And the fact that this guy, you know, has taken out one of the elite, I can understand why people are getting revved up over there. It's insane. Anyway, feel free to use it. Love you guys. You're doing God's work. Take care.
Thank you so much, Cosmic, for that insight. And, you know, that question, really. The simple question of what does that do to your psyche? As you go about in the world, do you guys have any initial thoughts on or what does that spark when you
absolutely Cosmic, first off, thank you very much for supporting the show and for reaching out to us. One thing to level set just with nomenclature here, our American conspiracy realist may need to know that Cosmic is saying garden in the way that you would say yard or like backyard. So this is the, you know, just the everyday area around your domicile in terms of the psychological burden or the heft of worrying about whether or not one can make it to the hospital. As I had mentioned earlier in previous conversations, this is a huge and frightening thing for many people in the United States, especially given various policy changes and the labyrinthine interaction of your medical providers with private insurers. You could have a pain in your chest, for instance, which is a huge red flag. If you have a pain in your chest, everything we know about medicine tells you to get thee to a doctor. However, here in the States, people do, to your point, Cosmic, they do carry and hold this burden of feeling like they may be gambling. You know, what if you go to the doctor, you have a pain in the chest, it turns out to be nothing, you know, mission critical, and now you are on the hook for an enormous expense. You're absolutely correct. I would argue that there is a ubiquitous, continual psychological burden, a question of will I or won't I go get care? How serious do I, a non-doctor, think this condition may be? Does that sound fair?
Yeah, it makes me think about parenting and the way, you know, maybe it hasn't fully shifted, but I think if you look at trends, the way parenting has shifted to a bit of overcaution, I would say. And I wonder if any of that has to do with this very thing. Rather than just letting kids, you know, the way, at least in my experience, I got to do, ride a bike around the neighborhood and go, you know, take my bike really wherever I wanted to go and do some dangerous crap with my bike without any kind of supervision. And I did get injured a couple times, nothing to the point of going to the hospital, but I have a lot of friends who did go to the hospital because of bike related stuff specifically. And this is one instance, right? Or one specific thing. But and maybe a trend towards overcaution, whether we know it or not, is because adults know the full cost of getting injured on your bike or climbing up that tree would be.
For sure. It also calls to mind there was an excellent episode of Stuff You Should Know several years ago now, a few more years than I'd like to specify, wherein they talked about the idea of antibiotic-resistant bacteria, right? The idea of over-medicating people with antibiotics, not letting kids play in the dirt, right? Does that have long-tail consequences? Are we being overcautious? I can't recommend those guys highly enough if you'd like to check out their shows. I think you can also find them on Instagram if you're interested.
Yeah. I do also think about any little thing, just the way Cosmic put it, doing anything that may cause you harm, right? Anything that may cause you harm.
And hope your fingers are all right, man.
No doubt. That's terrifying. Yeah. I cringed immediately. And to think that even lawnmowers aren't safe. They can turn on you.
Yeah. It is weird. So we found a couple of things that, I don't know, it might be worth pointing to. Cosmic, there's some interesting research coming out of PubMed Central back in 2014. It was studying health insurance status in the United States and psychological distress and the connection between those two things amongst adults aged 18 to 64 years old. Just give you a tiny bit of a sampling of this. It states, the purpose of this research is to examine the relationship between psychological distress and the aspects of health insurance status, including lack of coverage, types of coverage, and disruption in coverage. Adults with private or no health insurance had lower levels of psychological distress than those with public or other coverage, which is interesting, right? If you've got private healthcare insurance, you're not as worried because you've got the insurance that will cover you to some extent, even though, you know, we know not fully, and there will be lots of costs associated with being hurt. But at least if something major happens and you've got private health insurance, you're not going to pay the full $50,000 or whatever. You'll pay the first $2,000 to $8,000 or something like that, even though that's a crazy amount of money. They continue, although significant relationships between psychological distress and health insurance status were identified, their strength was modest, with other demographic and health condition covariates also being potential sources of distress. So they weren't able to find like health insurance is the reason people are distressed and not doing things or anything like that. They're just saying there did seem to be some kind of connection between health insurance and stress, especially when a change was occurring in whatever private or public health insurance was available to that human being, that personal relationship between you and your health insurer. And then just last couple things to add to this as an update, there is a new United Healthcare CEO. His name is Noel.
Really?
Tim Noel. Tim Noel.
Jeez. What did I do when I was in a fugue state?
Yeah. He joined United Health in 2007 and most recently oversaw United Healthcare's Medicare and retirement businesses, which are going through some weird stuff right now.
Changes.
Yes. Just a reminder, United Healthcare's parent company, United Health Group, is one of the largest companies in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. As we discussed previously in our series on Luigi Mangione, look for an update there as news emerges. United Healthcare is a Leviathan. It is just huge is not even a big enough word to encompass the economic heft of that enterprise.
Oh, yeah. And this comes to us via an NPR article titled United Healthcare Names New CEO After Brian Thompson's Killing. And here's a little quote from Andrew Witty, the CEO of United Health Group. That is the giant company.
Yeah, the parent company of United Healthcare.
Yes. And the quote is, the healthcare system needs to function better.
The doy.
And he added, when he was talking to investors, that the company's mission is, quote, to improve this system for everybody and help people live healthier lives. Ah, feels good, doesn't it?
So All long right. as you can afford it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And another thing we can mention here, just as a mention, there is another new AI tool that's going to help health insurers deny the denials that the other AI healthcare tool was doing. So it's a stopgap AI adjunct to automate appeals to the denials that the previous AI is doing.
Hang on, man. Let me get some paper out here so I can decision tree this real quick.
So human being gets hurt. Okay. There is a healthcare request for insurance coverage.
All right.
The first AI tool automatically says, no. Then okay. This second AI tool says, well, let me hold on. Let me take a look at that. Oh, we're going to automatically appeal that process.
Okay. I'm scribbling this down. Okay. Okay. Take me through the next step, Matt.
One day a human actually looks at the readout, you know, because it's a little ticker tape that comes out. Sure. And then they're like, no, deny.
Okay. That, and we can only assume then, surely, people are rolling this out because there's been some kind of breakthrough in medical technology wherein if you have a life-threatening condition, your body goes on pause while the AI fights itself.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And it's just, it's exactly what it is. Yeah, the new AI is just called Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude. Well, thank you so much, Cosmic. Hope that, I don't know, gave you at least our insights and our magic cards. We will be right back with more messages from you.
You've heard about the Super Bowl's legendary pregame tailgate party where the biggest stars in music kick off football's biggest game. iHeartRadio is bringing the show to your radio for the Super Bowl 59 YouTube tailgate concert starring Post Malone live from New Orleans. Super Bowl Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 Pacific. Watch on YouTube at youtube.com/NFL and hear it on the new and improved free iHeartRadio app, the exclusive audio home of the Super Bowl 59 YouTube tailgate concert.
And we've returned. Cosmic, in particular, if you want to hear more about Corvid-based magic cards, just drop an email. We've got some ideas. You know, maybe we could build a deck together. I'm saying that because big shout out to my brother Matt Frederick and our pal Tyler Klang. Matt, you remember you built a Magic the Gathering deck for me? I still have it.
Hey, you should use it.
I'm the kind of guy who plays Dungeons and Dragons with myself. Very well adjusted. Very well adjusted. Rolling for initiative. We are going to set the stage for this part of our evening's listener mail with the following. Recently, if you live in the United States, you have doubtlessly heard that one of the country's largest employers, Uncle Sam, the federal government, sent a stark and troubling email out to a ton of federal employees. Now, federal here is a vast umbrella. It's a vast group term. It encapsulates it encounters many different things that most people in the U.S. take for granted because they don't hear about it until something goes wrong. We are going to hear from anonymous Fed. And anonymous, before we share this, we want you to know it hit all of us personally. It hit a lot of our fellow listeners as well. We're going to protect your anonymity, and we cannot thank you enough for sharing this because we know it's going to resonate with a lot of people. Here's the letter. Hi, guys. I've been a longtime listener, but this is the first time I'm writing in. I'm sure you've seen in the news about the Trump administration's onslaught against federal employees. On January 27th, federal employees from all agencies got an ominous email from the Office of Personnel Management, OPM, with the subject line, "Fork in the Road." This email offered federal employees an option to submit a deferred resignation. The news, says Anonymous Fed, keeps talking about this as a buyout, which is not true. Basically, the email said that if we submit a deferred resignation by replying to the email with the word resign in the body of the reply email, we will still have to work until September, but won't have to be in compliance with the four pillars of the new federal workforce. I recommend you check out the email we got, which we can all find, by the way, folks, at www.opm.gov/fork and read through the entire announcement. The fourth pillar, says Anonymous Fed, is especially scary to me because of the word loyalty in there. The whole thing is quite spooky. We haven't gotten much communication from agency leadership yet. And side note, we're not going to reveal any specifics here. But, says Anonymous Fed, many unions are saying we should not take this deal. It's even unclear if the government is allowed to do this. Anyways, I would love to hear your thoughts on this and how the administration is treating federal employees. I personally will not be taking the deal. I would rather go down kicking and screaming. Feel free to read this out loud on the pod. Anonymous Fed. And first off, Anonymous Fed, we can't thank you enough again. We have been reading along with this. We had a little bit of correspondence with you earlier before we recorded. And I know this stuck out to all of us on the show, and quite honestly, I think this is directly affecting a lot of us listening tonight.
Yeah, reading through the email, it is a little bit sinister. I mean, it just the repeated thank you for your service kind of language and just the, you know, I don't know. There's something so formal about it that but also kind of like when you're getting fired. And like, you know, HR kind of covering their butts by speaking in a very kind of veiled and coded proper way. I don't know. There's, but the, you guys know what I'm saying? There's just something about it that reads a little eerie.
I hear you. And I'd like to draw everyone's attention to, again, www.opm.gov/fork, as in knife and fork, right? This is a real thing. January 28, 2025, this came out, the fourth pillar that Anonymous Fed is talking about, which is doubtlessly and unfortunately familiar to a lot of our listeners, is something called Enhanced Standards of Conduct. We'll just read a quotation from this. Again, this is official, this is real, and let's get some reactions. Quote, "The federal workforce should be comprised of employees who are reliable, loyal, trustworthy, and who strive for excellence in their daily work. Employees will be subject to enhanced standards of suitability and conduct as we move forward. Employees who engage in unlawful behavior or other misconduct will be prioritized for appropriate investigation and discipline, including termination. End quote. How do we feel about that one?
We don't want any spies in our offices, because they are making everybody go back to the office, right? So they're like, no spies in the office.
Also return to office. Right. Yeah, yeah. What are enhanced standards of suitability? Loyalty, loyal, stands out to anonymous Fed. Suitability, to me, is likewise darkly fascinating.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is troubling because it brings us to earlier precedents, right? It brings us to precedents, P-R-E-C precedents. This shows us, I don't know, a really disturbing thing that I think is, it's something we can look at apolitically, because we're also seeing the context wherein this language has a lot to do with other non-presidential administrative things, right? First off, let's recall the letter that Elon Musk sent out to the hardworking people at X, which gave them basically the choice to resign or go to hardcore mode. And the language is pretty simple.
Is it just conjecture that this is direct from Musk, or do we know this for a fact? I agree with you. The language is eerily similar.
Yeah, I think it would be, at this point, conjecture. However, we do know that the Heritage Foundation appears to be pulling a bit of an Alec with a lot of the proposed legislation or policy coming out of the new administration. Do we want to talk about Alec for a second?
Yeah, the Alec is the thing where the lobbyist group is the actual one writing the law, like pen to paper writing the law, and then the lawmaker just kind of says, yep, this is what I wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Do you like stamps? What if you have a rubber one?
Yeah.
Just rubber stamp this stuff. There's excellent reporting about this to that point, going to Salon, an article that published on January 28th, so just yesterday as we record on the 29th, by Russell Payne. The title, Right-Wing Activists Appear to Be Writing Memos for the Trump White House. I don't know. It's so tempting to read the tea leaves here, but a lot of the language does appear to be lockstep with earlier policy proposals.
Project 2025.
From the Heritage Foundation and from Project 2025.
Which Trump took great pains to distance himself from, but it would seem that a lot of the policy choices coming out so quickly with these executive orders are in lockstep with all of that stuff that we discussed in that episode.
Mm-hmm. And be careful to watch the three-card Monte of attribution. Am I getting it right? Is that the game?
Mm-hmm.
You have three cards, you have to guess.
That's right.
Okay.
And awesome. And it's notoriously a scam.
And it's notoriously, there we go, mind reader. So one of the three-card Monte things occurring here, I would posit to all of us listening tonight, is that the authorship chain of many of these memos, some of them coming through leaks, some of them coming through officially, the authorship chain changes whenever an internet sleuth says, hey, is it this from the same guy or same person who worked for, you know, insert think tank here? Isn't this exactly what they said? Are they just deep seeking or ChatGPTing themselves and pasting their own earlier aspirations as public policy? This is incredibly disturbing because of the way it's being reported. And to your point, Anonymous Fed, it's not really a buyout. It may be more of a shakedown. The OPM news first came to the public, the non-federal employee public, via our friends at the Associated Press. They said, of course, as you can read in the OPM language, that if you resign, if you just shoot the email back and have the word resign, you will get pay and benefits until September 30th of 2025. You will be, to your point, Matt, exempted from all applicable in-person work requirements. And ding, 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 in-person work requirements. Isn't that what Musk proposed earlier with X?
He's a huge proponent of in office, return to office. What do they call it? They literally call it RTO. Have you heard people shorthanding that?
Yeah.
Most of the tech giants have gone that route. And we've seen that happening even here in Atlanta with a lot of companies where that's just an expected thing. And, you know, we talked about that. It makes sense for the owners of these giant buildings to want to have them used, right? As well as the businesses around those giant buildings. And just there's a ton of reasons.
Commercial real estate is a massive industry.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. A lot of tech giants as well, or a lot of institutional titans, also have a little bit of their portfolio in commercial real estate.
Yeah.
Not so much. Well, maybe elder care as well. Maybe life work balance. Heck, maybe they're donating an equal amount of money and investment toward quality of life nonprofit charities. I'm giving myself bonus points for keeping a straight face while I said that.
Ever the diplomat, Ben.
Awarded.
Thanks. Thank you. Oh my gosh, I got more internet points.
You know what, Ben? You are the best America has to offer.
That's directly
from the email.
Yeah. I felt the back of your hand on that one. Yeah.
Oh no, I didn't mean to it's just crazy to look at the language.
That's how they write it. And it's so that's an excellent point, Matt, because it's such a weird vibe. The other four pillars, or the other three pillars we should outline here are, like you said, return to office. The second pillar is something called performance culture, and that's where we're pulling that quote from, the best America has to offer. It's an argument that taxpayers are paying money, they're paying you, standards will only get higher and higher, meaning that goals will be increasingly difficult to meet.
Well, and they're saying it'll be a meritocracy, right? They're only going to reward those and promote those who exceed expectations. No more of this. You've been around here for a long time. Get out of town. You better do great or you're out of here.
And I hate to point this out. I should not be pointing this out, but fairness compels us to do so. There are a few people, you know, just running down the clock for the pension. That is a thing that happens.
In every job.
Yeah.
You know, but it is weird to see it written out like that.
And also they're not the majority of the people involved, right? Who are just doing their best as experts to do their job. The third pillar is a more streamlined and flexible workforce. Where they say the following, quote, while a few agencies and even branches of the military, I don't like that part, are likely to see increases in the size of their workforce, the majority of federal agencies are likely to be downsized through restructurings, realignments, and reductions in force. And then they bring out furloughs. They're going to classify some employees as at-will status workers. And look,
what does that mean? At will. Is that like right to work state kind of stuff?
Kind of. It means you can lose a lot of worker protections that historically have been guaranteed.
I see. But speaking of historically guaranteed, you notice the language as well really leans on you will be treated with dignity and afforded all of the care that is promised to you by your stature or of your position or whatever, like, you know, implying that severance will be paid out, but also using very amorphous language.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's up there with pursuit of happiness. Right. Yeah. And this is why we wanted to bring this up, Anonymous Fed. This is very close to all of us and to many of us listening this evening. As you are hearing this, the evening this listener mail program publishes, it is February 6th, 2025, which is the deadline for federal employees to reply to this fork in the road email. Some of us listening now may be on the fence about whether or not to play along.
Are you going to take the offer?
Take it or leave it, Ben.
Tell us, folks. We want to hear from you. And we will say this kind of high pressure sales tactic often is often to the detriment of the person being sold something or being made the offer.
Did you
know what I mean?
Did you mention the pretty soulless respond with resign? You know, like it's like automated kind of vibes. That's, you know what I mean? Like that doesn't feel very dignified to me.
Yeah, agreed. And I love that you're pointing that out because we need to reemphasize.
It's like unsubscribe. You know what I mean? Like it's just
not taking notes, not going to have a meeting. Here's the one word you could send in the email. Also want to recommend some amazing articles that we found from the New York Times addressing this. There's one that came out today as we record, Shadows of Musk and the Government's Buyout Plan, to our earlier speculation, our earlier correlation of tactic and approach. President Trump's chief cost cutter has cheered an effort to persuade federal workers to quit. And yes, our pals at the New York Times, multiple journalists, confirm that there is an eerie similarity between Musk's earlier language and this fork in the road email.
That's right. Yeah.
Sick.
I don't know. Like, are we crazy? Are we too bubbled up in our paranoia and our constant investigation of these hidden things? Or is it true? It feels true. I just need a gut check. I need someone to tell me if I'm crazy.
I don't know, man. I think we try to approach most of this stuff with a grain of salt and with a measured approach. And I think we're doing the same thing here. But yeah, it's not out of the realm of likelihood, more than possibility, that that is what's going on here.
Did anybody notice the trip Elon took to Germany recently?
Give supporting a little some fascies, it would
seem. AFD, yeah.
Talking about honoring your German heritage and things.
Oh yeah,
and, you know, again, it seems a little dog whistly. I don't know. I don't care for the guy. I'm sorry. I'm just gonna be honest.
That one got into human hearing range. Mm-hmm. That whistle.
I don't know. It is a very strange position to be in, to sit here watching stuff happen, not sure of what it is, and if you call out what you think it might be, you could face consequences.
Or you just get labeled an alarmist. You get labeled some sort of conspiracy theorist. And
someone comes up to you and says, actually, it's pronounced gaslighting. Mm-hmm. And you're crazy.
But I don't know. I don't have any fear about it yet. No. But it is dead. It feels as though we're getting close to a time when speaking up about stuff you see could be dangerous.
Well, there is good news. The official policy of the White House has changed. A lot of prominent podcasters are going to be allowed into the press briefings. So I wanted to check with you guys. What are we going to do later this summer? No?
What are you we going to do?
I don't know if we're going to make it to the press club, but we do want to point out.
I am going to Germany, actually, this summer. So we'll check in, see what's going on over there.
Yeah. And we have to say the following things. First off, the vast majority of German nationals obviously don't support this wild ass right wing stuff going on.
Well, yeah. Not to mention, I mean, just any mention of anything, even fascist adjacent in Germany, it's like verboten, to use a German word. I mean, they take that stuff very, very seriously over there.
Very much so. And one other note, just for context, if we sound like we are somehow being hyperbolic, the Twitter message that I'm referring to from Elon Musk in 2022, can you guess the subject line?
Keck Lord 5000.
Nice. Wait, that was the Discord, but I love it. Okay. you're plugged in. The subject line of the email was literally fork in the road. So tell us these things are not related. We know there are many changes ahead. This is a chaotic time for a lot of people. And obviously, we are some of the first folks who will point out that a large government bureaucracy can be a bad thing. It can historically lead to the banality of evil, but also the federal government exists because you need it to have a government. So let us know your thoughts, folks. We cannot wait to hear from you. We don't have any insider info, as we always need to say. We're experiencing this with you. We've got your back. We've got your six. We want to learn more. Thank you to Anonymous Fed. Thank you to Cosmic. Thank you to Kurt. We're not going to have enough time to get to our friend Mike R. out there on the West Coast. But Mike, if you're hearing this, be safe, and we hope we can share your message with the larger crew in a later program. In the meantime, join us. Become our favorite part of the show, your fellow listeners. You can find us on the emails. You can call us on the telephonics. I'm just going to say telephonics. We'll leave it there. You can find us on the nets in the intervariety.
Yeah, you sure can. At the handle, in fact, Conspiracy Stuff, where we exist on Facebook, where we have our Facebook group. Here's where it gets crazy. On YouTube, where we have tons of video content for you to peruse and enjoy at your leisure. And on X, FKA Twitter, on Instagram and TikTok. However, we're Conspiracy Stuff Show, and we're also people on the internet. You can find me at How Now Noel Brown on Instagram. And Ben Boland is on the internet too, it turns out.
I will not stand for these unsubstantiated rumors. But if those rumors were true, perhaps an interested enterprising party could visit at wherever they're at, benbolin.com, or, of course, pick up your handy Necronomicon, which is essentially the yellow pages for Corvids and Lich Kings alike. What about you, Matt?
I'm on the internet, MattFrederick_iHeart. Good luck. Ha ha ha. Call 1-833-STDWYTK. That is our voicemail number. When you call in, you've got 3 minutes. Give yourself a cool nickname. Say whatever you'd like for 3 minutes. Do in that message, let us know if we can use your name and message on the air. If you got more to say, they could fit in that message. Maybe you got links, pictures, anything like that. Why not send us an email? We are
the entities that read every piece of correspondence we receive. Be well aware, yet unafraid. Sometimes the void writes back. How deep does the abyss go? Do we really read and respond to these excellent emails? Well, there's one way to learn for sure. There's one way to prove it to yourself. Step away from the light. Join us out here in the dark. Conspiracy at iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
You've heard about the Super Bowl's legendary pregame tailgate party, where the biggest stars in music kick off football's biggest game. iHeartRadio is bringing the show to your radio for the Super Bowl 59 YouTube tailgate concert, starring Post Malone, live from New Orleans, Super Bowl Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 Pacific. Watch on YouTube at youtube.com/NFL and hear it on the new and improved free iHeartRadio app, the exclusive audio home of the Super Bowl 59 YouTube tailgate concert.
He was a Boy Scout leader, a husband, a father, but he was leading a double life. He was a monster, hiding in plain sight. Journey inside the mind of one of history's most notorious killers, BTK, through the voices of the people who know him best. Listen to Monster BTK on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
To have a murder as gruesome as Jade Beasley's doesn't happen very often down here.
In Marion, Illinois, an 11-year-old girl brutally stabbed to death. Her father's longtime live-in girlfriend maintaining innocence, but charged with her murder.
I am confident that Julie Beverly is guilty. They've never found a weapon. Never made sense. Still doesn't make sense.
She found out she was pregnant in jail.
The person who did it is still out there.
Listen to Murder on Songbird Road on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spoiler alert. A two-word warning that we're about to ruin the end. But sometimes, spoilers can be worthwhile. And so, we designed the Lexus NX to reveal many things. Like taking the mystery out of how close you are between parking space lines. Or the time you'll arrive at your dinner reservation. Technology designed to remove surprise endings. It's just a better story that way. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.